The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon, where Ray shares tips and strategies for how to become a top earner in your company. Let's get into the episode.
How to have a godly business. How to have a godly business. You know, hey, how do I make my business maybe more godly, or is business godly at all, right? You know, like what does that look like? All right, so Proverbs 11:1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. What's that mean, right? What's Solomon talking about here? So dishonest scales, right? So picture a scale. So when someone is in business and they're selling something of value that's here, but they're charging way more. So an example would be hurricanes coming right here in Florida, right? So if there's a hurricane, I'm not saying there is a hurricane coming. I'm saying if there were, some people see that and they hike their prices up, right? So all of a sudden, you know, plywood is double and everything is increased. And hey, I get it, supply and demand, but that, how does that feel, right? How does that feel as a business owner that now people are more in need, so you're cranking up the price? Now, it's one thing if you have to pay the price, but a lot of times that's not the case. Now, I was talking to my friend, John Melton, and I won't say any names of who he's talking about, but he was telling me about yet another guru that is ripping off investors and customers. And, you know, and apparently this person has hundreds and hundreds of investors that is basically just taking their money. And, you know, and that's a dishonest scale. And so whatever it is that when you're in business, okay, you need to make sure that you're clear to yourself that you believe the price that you're charging, or if you are a representative of a company, that the price that they're charging is something that's congruent with how you feel the value is. So, first of all, you're just going to really struggle in business if you're representing a company that sells something that's this expensive and you think it's this good. Okay. Now, here's the harsh reality. Most people know the price of everything, the value of nothing. So when I tell people that I've invested over six figures a year, every year for over 10 years in my education, most people are like, what? Like, why would you do that? What they don't understand is that's helped me make millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. So the just weight, right? The scales were, you know, perfect, maybe even slanted in my favor. Maybe even slanted in my favor. I wasn't ripped off. Now, we know, for example, that what we do inside of our, let's say, our Rank Makers group or our 1K challenge where we charge a dollar for it, right? We know we will provide, I mean, in the 1K challenge, we will provide 100X value to that. We know that. So we're okay if the scales are a little tipped in your favor, in our customer's favor, okay? But dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord. So if you are charging, if you know you're doing this thing and you're charging way more than it could possibly be a value to that person, then that's not running a godly business. And I'm telling you, I mean, this is one of the greatest business books that's ever been created. Now, most people see it as a book of salvation, right? Or book of wisdom, but it's one of the greatest business books of all time because it covers every angle. It covers, there's no angle. When you're confused about business, there's no angle that the Bible either doesn't cover explicitly or tells you how to get that answer, right? James 1:5, when ye lack wisdom, pray, and it'll be given to you liberally and without reproach. Next, let's go to Proverbs 11:12. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. So if you're in business, and I know how it works. A lot of people are in business and their number one goal is to bash their competition. Their number one goal is to despise their competition, spread rumors about the competition, tell stories about the competition. But a man of understanding holds his peace. So first of all, bashing your competition, despising your neighbors, not godly. Now, we can go back to all the way to, I believe it's Proverbs 1, where it talks about wisdom. And it says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, fear in Hebrew is fear, but also respect and reverence. So respect and reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I said respect and reverence of God, not money. See, a lot of people, they take everything that this book says about trusting in God, finding your status, your security, your significance, your identity in God, and they use that. But instead of God, it's money, it's net worth, it's bank account, right? So this isn't respect and reverence for money, which is a resource. It's respect and reverence for God, who is the source. So respect and reverence, we're told by Solomon, right? King Solomon, who created the world's first mastermind. He had people travel from all over the world and pay him in gold and other things just to sit at his feet in a group and hear his wisdom. So respect and reverence of God is the beginning of wisdom. If you revere God, then you know that all other people are children of God. And despising them is insulting to what happened on the cross and what Jesus did for them too, whether they acknowledge it or not. This isn't, I'll respect them if they acknowledge God. No, no, no. That's not your choice. You're not the judge. God is the judge. You're not the judge. So we are called to kindness. Ephesians 4:29 to 4:32. Look it up. Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. This is a couple things here. Number one, it makes me think of the Abraham Lincoln quote. A person who represents himself has a fool for a client. So the person that is just relying on their own wisdom, relying on whatever they have learned themselves, right? Relying on their own gut instinct, relying on their own intellect or logic, right? And there's no counsel. They're not bouncing ideas off of coaches or their brothers and sisters in Christ, or they're not going to church and you know, communicating in congregation or anything like that. Then, you know, when there's no counsel, the people fall. So this is why spending time with your brothers and sisters is helpful, and you being vulnerable, you being willing to have somebody you can bounce ideas off of. You know, a lot of times my clients, because a lot of times my clients are, you know, top earners in, you know, whatever they're doing, whether it's real estate, insurance, or network marketing, and they're big earners. And sometimes they don't have someone to go and talk about their problems with because they're running a humongous team, right? And so them being able to come to me and share with me, hey, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that, and I can, you know, give them some advice, right? Now, these next three are all of this is awesome, man. I love Proverbs 11. This is such a good one. But listen to this right here. This is so powerful because, again, at every angle of business and being an entrepreneur, this book has advice for you, specific advice. Proverbs 11:24 and 25. There is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Ooh, that's fire, man. Now, first of all, don't get caught up in the word scatter, right? Because you may take that as, oh, scatterbrained. I'm scatterbrained. I should be increasing more. No, 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 no. One who scatters. One who scatters. Scatters what? Scatters what? Money. Resources. One who gives more. One who is charitable. One who is dropping knowledge even, right? But there's one who withholds more than is right, right? So they go, and I see this all the time, man. Well, that was Proverbs 11:24. And I'm gonna, and 25 and 26 snap right into it too. So when I go to a charity auction, like if, how many of you have been to a charity auction of whatever sort? Anyone been to, I know some of you have, right? Highly recommend it, highly recommend it. So there's a few things that happen at a charity auction, okay? So at a charity auction, usually go, they're usually pay, right? Usually pay, like this last one we went to, it was, $1,200 for the table. You usually pay, right? So you go there. They usually provide you with a nice dinner, and they usually have some entertainment, usually, right? They usually pull on your heartstrings and talk about, you know, what are we doing here, right? And then often they'll have a silent auction. Sometimes they'll have a charity auction. So many times over the however many years we've been doing this, but many times my wife and I would either be a sponsor, or we would buy a table and we would invite, friends. Okay. And I see how some people show up, a lot of people. So some people show up as, what can I get? Right. Oh, sweet. Free dinner. Perfect. They'll enter the free raffle, right? Maybe I'll win something. When I go to these things, I ask myself, have I given more than I've taken? Have I given more than I've taken? Because I can't go to a charity auction. So I might be good to invite to one, right? I can't go to a charity auction and just consume, right? I can't just consume and not give and not help and not do something, right? I got to do something. I want to, every place that my feet land, I want to give more than I get. So when I go to a networking meeting, nothing to do with charity. When I go to a networking meeting and, there you'll see people that do the business card drive-by, right? They die, here's my card, pop, 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 right? They're just dropping their card and they're hoping for gain. Never giving wisdom, never listening to anybody, right? The one who withholds more than is right leads to poverty. So as you hold on to your resources, whether it's knowledge or money or whatever, okay, the one who scatters increases more. The one who withholds, that leads to poverty. Now, Proverbs 11:25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters, right, will also be watered himself. So you watering could be knowledge, value, charitable giving, right? And think about this, put this into context of business. The business that waters others will also be watered themselves. The entrepreneur that waters other, whether it's through giving, whether it's through knowledge, whether it's through help. You know, I met a gentleman at the Chicago real estate event I spoke at. And I could just tell, man, he was... I got two things kind of happened. Two things happened. I could just tell a few things. Okay. I could tell this was a great dude, but he'd been through some stuff. He'd been through some stuff and he was really troubled. He was really going through a tough time mindset wise. And God nudged me, hey, you need to help this guy. And so I talked to him about his budget. I talked to whatever. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just do a call. And so I ended up doing a 2.5-hour call with him and giving him some advice. And it sounds to me like we've been communicating. He's totally on track now, right? So is that watering? That's watering others. You know, me doing these free, things, right? That's watering others. You could be doing this too. I'm not trying to point myself out. I'm just giving you an example, right? The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. And again, that could be charitable giving, that could be knowledge, that could be value, that could be solving problems. Now, here's one of my favorites. Proverbs 11:26, the people will curse him who withhold grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. That's just flying in the face of so many people's beliefs that it's evil to sell things, right? That it's bad to sell things. But here we are told in the Bible by King Solomon, one of the wisest who ever lived, the people will curse him who withhold grain. Very similar to the Proverbs 11:24, right? Those who withhold more than is right leads to poverty. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. Now, what's grain? Grain is a solution. So grain could be your product that you represent. Grain could be your knowledge. Grain could be how you help others solve problems. Grain could be your wisdom, right? Grain could be food, right? Could be actual food. You know, like there's things going on right now in the U.S. and all over the world where farmers are being stifled, and all of a sudden these major chicken facility gets burnt to the ground, like so weird. And there's major, people buying up food processing facilities. And all of a sudden we got a weird label on some of our fruit, right? There's a lot of weird stuff going on around actual food on this planet right now. The people will curse them that withhold grain, that withhold the solution, that withhold things that could help them. But blessing will be on the head of him who offers it, him who sells it. And we'll end with this, Proverbs 11:28. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. What's the righteous? The righteous are those who make God their priority. The righteous are those who know they get their security, their identity, their significance, their status from God, not from their bank account, not from their wealth. Now, that doesn't mean not to have wealth. You can have wealth, you can have money, and not make it your God. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Let me give you two quick examples. So a lot of people, they love. They just drool when they talk about it's harder for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. And they totally ignore the entire verse, right? They just pick that little piece out. So before Jesus says that, he talks about how the rich young ruler ran and kneeled at his feet and asked him, how does he get into heaven? And Jesus saw that he put riches first. He was trusting in his riches. And we know this is true. We know this is true because Jesus said, hey, if you want to get into heaven, you need to get rid of all that stuff, give it to the poor. And they're like, no, thanks. Now think about this. Jesus just told you, here's how you do it. And you're like, no, thanks. So where was his heart? It's obvious by his answer. His heart was in his riches. His trust was in his riches. That's obvious. Okay. But then we get the whole, camel, eye of a needle, which so many people in poverty, they're like, oh man, yes, I'm doing good. He didn't say it's easy for poor people to get into the kingdom, right? He didn't say that, but that's how it's, translated. And so, but later, two verses down, it says, with man, it's impossible. With God, anything is possible. And then a little bit farther down in 28 to 31, I think, it says, had he given up his riches or anybody give up their riches, they'll receive 100-fold in this life. Not in heaven, in this life. So if you weigh everyone's worth by their net worth, if you weigh your own net worth, your own self-worth by your net worth, if you get your security, your safety, your status, your significance, your identity, everything about you is based on what's in the bank account, then you, my friend, are trusting in riches. But the righteous, those who put God first, those who know that their riches are God's riches, and we're just stewards. I'm a steward of God's money that he's blessed me with. I'm very grateful. And I'm grateful for him to call on my heart whenever, wherever he wants me to put that money, right? And so he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Does that mean have more prosperity? Absolutely, no question. When you're a good steward, when you can handle much, you're given much. When you can't manage a little, even that's taken away from you.
Thank you for listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon. And be sure to head over to rayhigdon.com/profits to download your free audio where Ray shares his 29 sources of network marketing leads. Tune in next time for more tips and strategies on how to become a top earner in your company.